It's time for you to be a part of the show. Email or call with questions for Dr. Mike now. Email ask Dr. Mike Smith at radiomd.com or call 877-711-5211. What are you waiting for? The doctor is in.
All right, my next question is a follow-up to a segment I did on chili peppers. I think the segment was titled Feel the Healthy Burn of Chili Peppers. And I talked a little bit about how, you know, coming from Texas, I eat a lot of chili peppers and salsa, but I'm not that crazy with it, right? I can't, you know, the jalapeno is about the hottest I can go. So here's the question. It's a follow-up. Hi, Dr. Mike. Like you, I love salsa and chili peppers, but I love the extreme burn, exclamation point. My question is about dose, really, in regards to capsaicin. Is the hotter the pepper, better? Oh, well, first of all, I told you before, I love follow-up questions because it means somebody's listening. But what's really cool about this question, what I love about this is that, because I've talked about dose before. I've talked about dose range, appropriate dose, you know, more is not always better. I mean, these are common themes that you'll hear in my segments and stuff. So this is great. I love this question. So is the hotter the pepper better? And again, this is in terms of, you know, of capsaicin dose, because the hotter the pepper, the more capsaicin. Again, the heat of a pepper is measured in the Scoville unit, or sometimes what is simply called a heat unit. And so very simply, the answer to that question is no. The hotter is not better. Like everything, and I've said this before, like everything, there is a dose range. And capsaicin's the same way. Capsaicin does have health benefits if you ingest it, both in the food source and in a dietary source, which means it has a dose range, okay? And if you're below that dose range, as a matter of fact, I mean, lots of money is spent by pharmaceutical companies, for instance, trying to figure out dose range of their chemical prescription drugs. I mean, most of the money goes into that. You have to know what's going to be the lower end of the dose and the higher end of the dose where I get maximum benefit and I minimize side effects. That's the dose range. Benefit is high, risk is low. That's what you want. If you take something like capsaicin, for instance, and you're below that range, right, that ideal range, and I say range because most things are range. It's not like there's one absolute perfect dose. Usually it's, you know, between 50 and 100 milligrams or, you know, whatever. There's usually a range, right? And on the lower end of that range, you get a little bit of benefit, almost no side effect. On the upper end of that range, you get lots of benefit, but then the side effects start coming in. So you have to be careful. Don't go too high. So that's what I mean by dose range. And it's all about benefit risk. And capsaicin is the same thing if you're going to ingest it, right? If you're going to eat the pepper or take a capsule, there are capsules of capsaicin. So if you're below that range, you're not going to get any benefit. You're not going to get any side effects either, but it's just not going to do you any good. You're wasting your money. But if you're above that range, that's where benefit is gone and side effects take on. So I looked up capsaicin, which, by the way, you can find, you know, chili pepper supplements, and you're going to find them concentrated with capsaicin, or another name you're going to see is cayenne, C-A-Y-E-N-E. I think, or maybe there's two N's, C-A-Y-E-N-N-E. It's basically the same thing, cayenne, capsaicin, same thing. And so I just did a search of all the capsaicin-based chili pepper products out there, and the dose range to get the benefit to maybe resting metabolism, which will affect weight, cardiovascular, immune, all those things that we've talked about, pain, that capsaicin can play a role in. That range was 500 to 1,000 milligrams. Now, there were a few that were higher than that. There was one product that went up to about 1,500 milligrams of capsaicin. So if you just look at the research, you look at the products available, you're talking a range of about 500 to 1,000 milligrams of capsaicin. Now, some of the products, though, list they don't list necessarily the milligram dose of the capsaicin. What they're listing is what are called the heat units, HU. And so 500 to 1,000 milligrams or so of capsaicin would be equivalent to about 20,000 to 40,000 heat units. So you have two different ways of measuring capsaicin. You got the milligram way and the heat unit way. The milligram way, 500 to 1,000. The heat unit way, 20,000 to 40,000. That seems to be the right dose. So if you're going to just eat... What? So in that segment I did, what was the name of that hottest pepper? Carolina Reaper. Carolina Reaper, made by some guy in the Carolinas. He figured out a way. It's like, I can't even remember what, like over 2 million heat units. I mean, crazy. So if you eat that, you're way over the capsaicin. Dose range, basically. So, yeah, you're not getting a lot of benefit from it, but, boy, you're getting a lot of side effects, right? That perfect example. So, no, the hotter the pepper is not necessarily better. You want to be in a nice, appropriate range. Okay, good. Love that question. Moving on. Is the bigger cell phone releasing more EMF than smaller ones? Okay, so let's first talk about EMF. Electromagnetic frequency or radiation, anything that has a current in it, it releases an EMF. And if you're really close to that current or that EMF, there's some people that believe that can lead to DNA mutations, cancers, immune dysfunction, oxidative stress. I mean, there's a whole list of things, confusion, cognitive issues. And I don't know if anybody really argues that a lot of EMF can do those things. The question is how much, how long, how close do you have to be? That's, I think, where most of the debate is really centered around. This is a fantastic question, though. It's funny, isn't it? When cell phones first came out, they were huge, right? Remember the late 80s, early 90s cell phone? It was like a brick, right? And then they got smaller and smaller and smaller. I even had one phone... not even that long ago, maybe 10 years ago, and it was like my palm was bigger. I mean, it was like the smallest little thing. But then now the trend is completely the opposite. They're getting bigger and bigger. I now have a smartphone that's pretty big. it's like twice what I so they are getting bigger. So I think this is a really good question. I mean, if you are worried about EMF, I don't want this to be a debate about EMF. Let's just make the assumption that we want to avoid EMF, this electromagnetic frequency from cell phones, as much as possible. Let's just make that assumption for now. And the question being, is a bigger cell phone, some of these smartphones, worse for you than the smaller ones? And, my gut feeling is yes, because the more current that has to be generated to run the cell phone, for instance, maybe a bigger battery, the worse the EMF is going to be, the greater the EMF is going to be, the greater the impact it could be. So I think my gut feeling to this is, yeah. And if that's an issue for you, you might want to avoid the smartphones with all those apps. You might want to go with a smaller phone. And there are, they still offer some of those around. So that's my gut feeling. I don't, if you have a better answer, a more specific answer, some references for me, please share it with me. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at RadioMD.com. Tell me what you think the answer is. Send me your reference. I mean, I'm all about learning. I learn every day, and I love it. So I'm just kind of giving you my gut answer here. To me, yes, the bigger the cell phone, the greater the current, the greater the EMF, potentially the more damage. So there you go. So use a smaller one. That's my best advice. All right. Thank you very much. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.